set fire to your hair, poke a stick at a grizzly bear, eat medicine that's out of date, use your private parts as piranha bait. Dumb ways to die.
I'm pretty sure all of you would smack me upside the head if I didn't, so.
That's
even
true.
Even Shannon knows who Phil LaMarr is.
Oh, hold on, motherfucker. With this, at least Shannon knows a lot of celebrities.
That's true, just not a lot of voice actors.
All right, but where do you know Phil LaMarr from?
So many things.
Where do you know Phil LaMarr from the most?
The most would probably be Futurama.
See, for me, it's Mad TV.
Futurama and Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League is the
other one. Samurai Jack.
I actually forgot that Phil LaMarr was in Mad TV.
He was on Mad TV. He was one of my favorite people on there. He's also in probably the best Tarantino film. Lindsay, which one is it? All right, Jesse, she's blanking. Go ahead.
I'm assuming you're referring to From Dusk Till Dawn?
No.
I actually don't know what Tarantino movie he's in.
I was about to say, because From Dusk Till Dawn is a Robert Rodriguez film, not a Quentin Tarantino movie. He's just in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Pulp Fiction.
Phil LaMarr, what is he in Pulp Fiction?
He's Marvin. They shot Marvin in the fucking face.
Oh, shit, that's Phil LaMarr.
That's Phil LaMarr, yeah.
I legitimately did not know that. That's very funny.
I shot Marvin in the fucking face. What the fuck you do that for?
It wasn't on purpose.
In fact, why am I back here cleaning up brain?
You get back here. You clean up this brain.
I'm a mushroom cloud laying motherfucker. Every time my brain, my hands touch brain, I'm like the guns of the Navarone. Ah, bang, 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 bang. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Podzilla After Dark on the Podzilla 985 Network. We've been recording, baby. This is the way I get Lindsay to talk more here on the network. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, of course, we have the one and only Jesse Kimball.
Hey, that's that guy. Are we really starting before like everybody gets here?
It's 8:17.
Oh, you know, that's fair.
They should have been here already. Lindsay Wolfgang's here with us.
Hi.
Who is everybody else?
I am cross-stitching Missingo.
See that. I mean, Shelby will probably jump on.
There she is.
Shelby. We got Hunter on the way.
The Shelbinator. Shelby two eyes.
The noise is on my phone off.
Shelby pants.
Shelby pants.
Yeah.
Look who else is going to be at Indiana Comic Con.
Phil LaMarr.
The voice of Jake from Adventure Time.
Also.
Your brother and the older brother.
Also, Phil LaMarr from.
Phil LaMarr from many things.
From Pulp Fiction. Young Phil LaMarr. Shelby will be joining us here soon, as will Double H. Until then,
oh, I turned it off.
You what, the podcast?
No. Her mouse. She was trying to get it to. She was trying to get her mouse to do something, and so her computer has this really annoying habit that I cannot get it to stop doing. Where when she puts her computer to sleep, the mouse will wake it up. Like if the mouse gets budged even the tiniest amount, it will wake up her computer.
Ah.
I have this feature disabled on my computer. No problem. I have gone into so many settings, and I know somebody out there is going to message me like, have you tried this? And the answer is yes. I am an IT person that is very good at Googling things. I cannot get the mouse to stop waking her computer up. So sometimes she has a wireless one. I'll just turn it off.
He cannot get the mouse to stop doing it. He's tried. He's failed horribly. I've discovered something that I can't stop. If you're a listener out there, if you're a longtime listener of the show, let me know if this has always been a problem. But listen to this. Can you hear this? Just tell me.
Yes.
That's your chair squeaking.
Yeah, I didn't realize how audible that was until I listened back to last week's Horse Time, and the entire time it sounds like a goddamn creaky old mansion.
I wonder if that has to do with your empty basement currently, because I don't remember hearing it prior to moving the cabinets.
I also don't remember it prior to moving the cabinets. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us live via Discord, Shelby Chan.
Hello.
Shelby, a reluctant cast member from this point.
She enjoys it. Also, Dalton did say that Shelby is his favorite, not only favorite, but the only cast member of this show that he likes now.
Well, yeah, because Dalton is an egg-sucking fucking pathetic parasite piece of shit.
because this message came specifically after the close-up mic bit.
Was it because we were doing this, Dalton?
I didn't do anything.
It was, in fact, because we were doing this.
I feel like it bothers Dalton when I talk to him so sexually.
It bothers him so much.
He can't understand why he's getting such an erection right now. And oh, my God. Dalton, what if I sweeten the deal a little bit and I go...
It's not the same without the dolphin puppet.
He visualized the dolphin puppet every time.
I don't
like. He knows.
I didn't like the disgusted look that Shelby had when I went. She looked absolutely mortified, and that is the look most women give me.
And now Dalton just likes Shelby even more.
I forgot that I have the dolphin puppet right now. So
get your hand out of my dolphin's ass. He's got a bent tongue, much like the bent appendage of our next guest, Tanner Calvert, joining us live.
Which appendage is bent, Tanner?
Tanner.
Don't worry about it.
Tanner, if you don't specify, we're all going to assume it's your dick.
Tanner, if you see something, say something.
That's
for me to know. No one else will find out.
I would hope your wife would know.
She's the one that bends it.
Shelby, my new purchase came in.
Really good.
Lindsay, this is a show, not show and tell.
I am showing them and telling our audience that I got the Disney special edition Bo-Katan Kreese Star Wars doll that's like $50, and she's awesome.
So
I just need to redo my whole Star Wars shelf now because there's not room for her currently on it.
Last week on the show, we count down our five favorite episodes that we've ever done. And a Mr. Zane Laney reached out to me and sent me a big, long message. And I appreciate it, as always. It's always good to hear from Zane. I haven't replied to him yet, so he probably doesn't like me as much anymore. But that's okay, because Zane, I'll tell you what. I'll get up close like this and talk to you. If this would help. And instead of doing the fast tongue flick that disgusts Shelby, I'll do it slowly like this. Dalton, do you like this?
That sounds like Wally losing his batteries.
Yeah. Something about
I just want Dalton for the rest of his life, when he lays down at night to go to sleep next to his beautiful, loving girlfriend, I just want him to hear, oh, walla, walla.
That's his new white noise. That's awful.
It's just constantly going. He tries to like get a white noise machine. Even the white noise machine, that's all he hears.
He just hears it at night. And he doesn't know at this point whether or not he's actually hearing it or if he's gone insane. It's both. Zane,
go either way.
Zane sent me a message. He said these are the top. He wanted to tell us his favorite three episodes. And I thought this was a nice message, so I'm going to read this out. He said his top three favorite episodes off the top of his head with no episode number or title because he's too lazy to go back and look. Hey, so are most of the people on the cast. I think I was the only one that actually looked
up the numbers.
Out.
Yeah.
He said the first episode. Oh, is Tanner gone? Nah, he'll be back.
Yeah, Tanner's gone.
Yeah, I told
you.
There he is.
The first episode, I believe, with Josh from Press Start to Join. Shout out to Josh, our Canadian friend. I don't even remember what the episode was about, but it has a moment that still, to this day, makes me laugh my ass off every time I think about it. Dalton starts saying something, and Josh cuts him off and says, "You know, usually when you start talking, I can fast forward till you're done, but I can't do that now. We're live."
Oh. God damn, that's awesome.
That's such a good burn.
God damn. It comes out of nowhere and totally dumbfounded and embarrassed the poor guy. Which is saying something, because it's Dalton. You know?
He's usually, like, he's ready for that shit. But I guess he thought that, like, he may have thought that it wouldn't have happened from Josh.
I think he thought because Josh is Canadian, he was required by law to be polite.
That's illegal. You can't do that.
You can't do that in Canada. He had to send Dalton.
He may have hit him with a story afterward, but like,
well, he had to send Dalton a jar of maple syrup as an apology, and Tim Hortons. It was awkward. He goes on to say, the one episode where you gave a shout out to my son on my behalf because he didn't believe that the same Zane Laney that you guys mentioned occasionally was me.
And, I remember that. That was awesome.
He continues, not because of the shout out, but because right after you started talking about how the Joker or the Batman was a cuck, and I wasn't fast enough to pause and have my son asking for the rest of the day what a cuck was.
Oh boy, this is not a family-friendly show.
No, and lastly, the episode that started it all. The first time I emailed you guys to say how much I appreciate all the hard work and entertainment you provide. It got us all talking more on a friend level and still stands true to this day. I still appreciate all that you guys do, all love, all the time to you all. So, Zane, thank you. We absolutely adore you. We really do. We really, really do. You're part of the family. There are certain fans, and it's so weird saying that still, because like there is still, you know, 8 years into this, there are times that I realize we have fans that exist, like people we don't know that aren't our friends or family that we have forced to listen to the show that like us and listen to the show, and we provide them entertainment, and that is such a good feeling. So Zane,
and the fact that there's a handful of them like Zane, that they feel like they're part of our friend group at this point.
And they are. Zane, yeah, I was about to say,
Zane is in the Podzilla 1985 fantasy football.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
Awesome, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Zane, our hat's off to you, my friend. It's good to hear from you. We love you very much. And that goes to all of our fans, most of our fans, like 96%. We love you. There's 4%. I'm not going to name them. You know who you are.
And Shannon always has to give over 100%.
I can't give less than 120%. Legally, I'm not allowed to.
We're still missing numbers. It's fine.
Breaking news. This is kind of depressing. Actually, it's been a depressing week in general. I'm just now getting over my cold or my infection or whatever it was. I think I still sound a little bit nasally. I'm still coughing a little bit. My body is still not 100%. I'm still weak. Definitely feel better than I did. But that on top of the absolutely tragic weather we had this week, which took the lives of some people that I know. And
it took the lives of a lot of people.
It did.
Like that tornado over Bollinger County was devastating.
It was, and it's very, very sad. I don't have any jokes about this, obviously, other than I am truly sorry to the people that, you know, were lost. And like I said, we knew some of them. Friend of our show, Mimi, I don't want to get too personal, but a member of her family passed away in it, and it's just really, really sad. I don't know what to say other than, like, I am truly sorry, and I feel terrible about it. And then I got on TMZ just now, and I saw that they announced the cause of death for two celebrities that passed away relatively recently. Lance Reddick, who died a couple weeks ago at this point, 60 years old, one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
He apparently died of two different heart conditions is what killed Lance Reddick, which is, scary for somebody like me who has a heart condition. And it makes you feel like you're on borrowed time, which, you know, after this week, borrowed time could be up at any moment. You never know. And the other one, this one's a little bit more depressing. Coolio. They just announced what Coolio died from. He died from fentanyl, which is absolutely heartbreaking and tragic.
Yep.
So. Yep.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Very, very sad. That's all. I was going to... I don't have a motherfucker of the week. You know what? It's Vince McMahon. There you go. it's
for ruining a perfectly cromulent WrestleMania.
The rapist is back in
and
charge. Yeah. Well, we're gonna come to a segment of the show we like to call Shannon Tries to Drink Again. Now the problem is that after I got sick, I could not drink alcohol. I have not been able to drink it. It makes me want to throw up the moment I taste it. I'm not kidding. Shelby, I'm not kidding. I'm depressed.
He gags more than like me having the tiniest of sip and being like, oh yeah, I remember, I don't like this stuff.
I gagged more than Lindsay after she watched the Eric Andre bit where he
pretended... Oh no, don't remind me. no.
I'm almost glad that Shannon cut out, but at the same time, I'm very curious.
I'll send you the clip. So we're gonna.
Well, I already don't like Eric Andre much, though.
Love Eric Andre.
And I literally had to leave the room, even though I knew it was fake. I was still about to throw up.
She was. It's always funny when Lindsay almost throws up. So I have a bottle of my favorite whiskey. I have a shot glass. I'm about to take a shot of this bad boy and see if we're back to normal or if I'm still sick. So this segment, Shannon tries to drink again. Let's see what happens.
Nope, he's still sick.
No, we're good. We're good.
That was the normal whiskey cough.
That was just the burn, yeah. So at this point, we're going to reintroduce the shot clock. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what the shot clock is, it's a great segment that I do whenever I know.
Shannon, can we please, we don't need to do the shot clock. It's fine.
Are you sure? I got the clock ready to go.
I'm very confident that we do not need to do the shot clock.
All right, I vote to make the shot clock a weekly thing on After Dark.
No.
If you fans like the idea of the shot clock, and what the shot clock is where I put a timer up on the clock, and every 5 minutes I take a shot of whiskey. Depending how long the show goes, I can get pretty happy.
See, I feel like that is a wonderful segment for horse time.
But this is After Dark. This is the show where we talk about pornography.
When was the last time we talked about pornography in a long on this time. Show?
Right now, because I'm going to... No, I've got nothing.
Real quick, before we do move on, I got two things to bring up.
Please do.
I went back and re-listened to Sequelitis.
Was that the one with Burt Reynolds on the cover?
Nope.
Oh, hell.
That was Sucky Blowies and...
Oh.
Little Porny and...
My Little Porny.
You're going to want that Sucky Blowy, Tanner.
I think he's going to prefer the Tuggy Squeezy.
It's cheaper. It's the cheaper option.
Much cheaper. And probably as satisfying.
Disagree.
Also, I went back and watched the Tanner's Giving, or listened to the Tanner's Giving episode. And
which was the Tanner's Giving episode?
Chad.
Is that?
Oh, my God. Okay. Why would you listen to that episode?
Now,
I curse Chad Green.
I wanted clarification. The person who insinuated... That Bob had
that,
been
that things have happened.
Roofied,
yes,
roofied and taken advantage of was none other than Shannon.
That dastardly bastard! No wonder everyone left him.
He accused himself of it. It was not me. It was not Jesse. It wasn't even Chad. It was all Shannon.
I'm gonna let you guys in on a secret. I like attention.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, how many times have you talked about that episode and then blame us for doing...
Okay, okay.
In complete fairness, we are still to blame because Shannon made the bad joke.
Yes.
And then we ran with it. Not just ran with it.
Right.
Like, we marathoned with it.
They railroaded that.
Marinated it, bud.
10 minutes.
This morning. Only 10 minutes of me being accused of gay rape.
No, only 10 minutes of you accusing yourself of it.
Oh, so 10 minutes of me, and then the rest of the 50 minutes were you guys. Gotcha. I'm gonna take another shot on that one.
Yeah, that's how it feels like in my memory. Is like, yeah, Shannon bringing it up, like him making a bad joke, and then the rest of us just like fucking laying into him about it for the entire episode.
I make a lot of bad jokes.
Chaps, on the other hand, he did say there was one question about Quaaludes. And then he looked at Lindsay and goes, "Are you okay?" That was about as far as it went.
Wasn't he there for that one?
Yes.
I guess I was, because I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't remember being on that show.
What year was this? What year?
You know who was there, too.
Well, yeah, I figured, but like, what year?
I don't know if we want to give people enough details so they can go find this.
That's true. I blame Chad Green for that, honestly. I've changed a lot in the past couple of years. The shows are definitely different than they used to be. Shelby, you missed the Wild Wild West era of Podzilla 1985. And mostly by the Wild Wild West era, I mean I would just eviscerate... Jesus Christ. I would eviscerate everybody on the show, myself included, but mostly Dalton.
It was a lot of Dalton and a little bit of Tanner.
It was a little bit of Tanner.
And then occasionally, like... some like, you know, like me or Allie would get peppered, and Lindsay also the brunt of a lot.
Yes, Lindsay was a good sport. Allie was a good sport. The worst thing I've ever done on the show, I know we're past our anniversary thing, but the worst thing I've definitely done on the show, Jesse brought it up last week, the episode where we talked about white privilege, and my friends who are smart and helped teach me new things taught me the error of my ways when it came to white privilege. But the worst part of that episode by far, and probably the worst thing I've ever done on the show by far, and that's saying something, was when Jesse and I were in the middle of an argument, Allie tried to jump in and give her point, and I literally looked at her, put a finger in her face, and told her to shut up. That was the dumbest thing I potentially have ever done. And that's
In general. I was going to say, in particular, definitely on air. Like it's probably like I imagine someone would make an argument for off air, but on air that was bad.
What have I done off air that's been so bad?
I'm not saying I would make an argument, but I feel like someone would.
I'm a gentleman and a scholar.
I mean, especially when you talk about, because you said dumb, right? Like that was,
yes,
that was the word.
Okay, well, I can think of some other dumb things I've done. Once upon a time, I thought it would be a good idea to cut the power cable of a fan while it was plugged in and running with a pair of scissors.
If I remember correctly, the other story that usually goes along with that is Shannon once thought it would be a great idea to hit
play baseball in the house.
That's true.
Inside his home.
That's true. I had a learning disease, I think is what it was.
You were curious. You wanted to understand what would happen if you played baseball in the house.
Jesse, I like to think that I'm very scientific. I have a scientific brain.
You had a hypothesis. You had a hypothesis. You needed to test the hypothesis.
Yeah.
And instead of
it ended poorly.
No, I'd say it ended.
No, it ended great because it proved his hypothesis.
It proved that you should not cut a fan's power cable while it's plugged in. That is what I proved. And Hunter will back me up on that.
Yeah, I'll back you up on that.
He'll back me up on that.
Yeah, I feel like
that's something that would do.
Good news, Hunter. I can drink again. Here's to you.
Why couldn't you drink before?
When I had my infection, I could not do it. I would take a sip of the whiskey and I felt like I was going to throw up. Literally, Lindsay watched me multiple times try to drink just a little bit of whiskey, and I would almost throw up. So we're good now. I'm about 5 shots in.
That's great.
That's good news.
I'm glad you're not sick.
That's good content. Are you? Oh, God, are you sick?
A little bit.
Oh, no.
Dead.
Oh, no.
A little skosh.
The cycles continue.
You got that last minute St. Louis raw sickness is what it was.
Oh, I don't think so, man. If I was going to have that, it would have been a long time ago.
You know, the more I think about it,
I mean, it's my exposed to sickness on a regular basis.
My work environment and my coworkers. It's just like a little petri dish. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's Dalton. Dalton could spit in a petri dish and start a new civilization.
Hey, we just saw the D&D movie, by the way.
That's unnecessarily mean.
How was it?
It was very good. I liked it a lot. Sarah liked it a lot. I think the general consensus in here is that Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of among the best Marvel movies, right? We're all generally, it's in the top five, probably. This felt like a Ren Faire Guardians of the Galaxy in a lot of ways. And I mean that in the most positive way, like the Motley crew coming together to do stuff. It was a lot of fun. And we because the Mario movie is just taking over theaters, we got to see it with literally no one else in the room. So it was just me and Sarah watching through the whole thing, which is awesome.
Which was cool, especially because it spreads like a fungus, you know?
Yes.
I am really excited to see the Mario movie.
It's so good. We'll get to that in a second.
We're gonna go see it on Monday. But yeah, it's the D&D movie is very good. It's never too long. It is a longer movie. It's a little over 2 hours, close to 2.5, but it doesn't feel like it at any given point. Like, it just keeps moving at a good clip. Again, I liked being in there just the two of us because there were a lot of things and I'm like, oh, that's a thing. Like, I know that thing. They reference Icewind Dale and Baldur's Gate and all of that stuff. But I also like that there were things that happened that are very like, no, that's how it works in the game. Like, not to give anything away, but more than once, one of the characters is like, well, just magic us in there, or just like, just use your magic. And the characters are like, that's not how magic works. you can't just do whatever you want with magic.
I have to take a long rest before I can do it again.
and it feels like, you know, it stops short of being the Lego movie where it just like suddenly, you know, cuts to people at a table throwing dice. It never does that. But it does have little things that I'm glad they didn't.
Kind of neat, but yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm
fine with them.
Not every movie needs to break the fourth wall.
Yeah, I'm glad in the end they didn't. It's a neat concept to some degree. Like the older D&D movies, I think would have lent themselves well to that. But this is very much just a high fantasy heist. I mean, it's a lot of fun. Nobody is miscast. Everybody does a great job. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it's worth your money.
How did it compare to the old D&D movie? And I'm being serious. I'm not making fun of the old D&D movie, because I actually thought the old D&D movie, I thought it was okay. Like, it's not great, but I thought it was fine. It was fun.
It was fine, but those older movies never really felt like D&D. This does. This feels like a D&D movie between the references, the way that the characters act, the fact that they identify by character classes. There's a sorcerer. There's a druid. You know, there's a bard. They never really, I think the bard is the only one they never really call him a bard outright.
That's Chris Pine.
Yeah. Chris Pine's character is a bard.
The most important class.
Actually, I don't know that Michelle Rodriguez plays Holga, who's a barbarian. I don't know that they call her a barbarian. They might. I know they talk about her tribe and that kind of stuff, so it's very much hinted at. But the druid and the sorcerer, I know, are both referenced by class specifically.
What class, and I'm being serious, what class, I can't pronounce, I forget his name. Is it Reggie? No. What is his name?
Reggie Jean Page?
Yes. What class is he?
He's a paladin.
Yes!
A paladin of Thane, to be more specific.
He is my favorite in the movie already.
Well, I will warn you, he's not in it for as long as you might think. He's not like a main party member. He's if you were playing this as a game, he shows up in a side quest, and that's it.
Oh, that sucks. I was excited about him.
But his part of the movie is among the most like entertaining. He gets a really cool backstory. He's awesome in it. He just looks really cool.
He's a handsome
and
man.
When he goes to leave, like when he's like, okay, I must part ways with you. I won't spoil it for you, but when he leaves is the funniest scene of the whole movie. I'll spoil it for you later if you want, but I won't do it on
No. This time I don't want you to spoil it. Unlike Doctor Strange, where I had Hunter give me the full throwdown because I needed to know. Yeah.
Well, go see this before it's gone, though, because like I don't know that it's going to be in theaters after today. It was already in the one on the very end, and again, there was nobody there. They showed it three times today, and that was it. And it just came out this past
week.
Yeah, what was the movie, Shannon, that you and I tried to see? It had only been out for like a week. You and I were going to see it. We checked show times, and then every single screen was showing Madea Halloween.
I was going to ask if it was Land of the Dead, because... But I don't think it was Land of the Dead, because that's when Lindsay and I first started dating. So
yeah, I'm trying to remember. Like, well, the thing that gets me was it Blade Runner?
No, I've never. I never wanted to go see the new Blade Runner. I still
have this one.
Is that the D&D movie was number one at the box office this past weekend and made like over $100 million? It pulled in a good take. No part of me understands why this thing. I mean, again, I get that Mario's a powerhouse and it's in every other theater, but like, you have like 12 to 14 screens there, man.
Yeah,
this is the number one movie in the country right now until Mario comes out, or until it came out. That blows my mind. And they're still showing like Scream and Jesus Revolution.
Hell yeah.
And other just,
well, it's not gonna happen tonight. Their only other showing is at 9:20.
I mean, I wouldn't go watch it tonight anyway. I have work tomorrow.
I know. I have work open to close.
I have work tonight. That's not about you. I have work tonight to do on the battlefield.
Damn, please.
Well, in other film news, the Mario Brothers movie was also fantastic. I saw it with Lindsay and Zach Kurgis, Zechariah himself. It was a lot of fun. It was also kind of short, and it sped through a lot of things. But like me and Zach were talking about when we left, I didn't go into that movie expecting, you know, goddamn Schindler's List or Lord of the Rings. It's fine to be fast and fun, and that's what the Mario Brothers movie was. It had so many references in it. You're going to have to pause every single scene just to see the Easter eggs.
I'm just waiting for my YouTubers I watch to break it all down, and I won't have to.
It was really, really good, though. I highly recommend the Mario movie. It's very basic. It's very basic and dumb in a lot of parts.
But it's fun.
And it's a fun dumb. It's not like the normal animated movie dumb where some character inevitably shits himself and everyone laughs like crazy because that's the funniest thing in the world to kids. This one was still relatively like well thought out and fairly mature. The little, I still forget what the name of the little stars are from Galaxy.
Lumas.
Yeah. The Luma.
I only know that because of Rosalina and Super Smash Brothers.
Yes. And the Luma that's in the movie is the funniest thing.
It's the best.
That
is the best.
It is so psychotically deranged. Like, and not just like kids deranged, like deranged. Oh, I don't want to spoil it. I'm not going to say it.
The sweet release of death.
It's
in the trailer. It's not a spoiler.
I'm thinking of the final thing it says. The part where they're all, I don't want to spoil too much, but they all think they're going to die. And when they're not going to die, the little Luma just is laying on its back and it just goes, boo. It's very, it's very funny. Very funny. Chris Pratt did a great job as Mario. Like,
yes,
I don't care what. Yeah, he was really good. He embiggened the role very well. Charlie Day was great as Luigi. All the voice cast was great. I still don't entirely like Jack Black as Bowser, but I thought he did.
That's the one I'm most excited about. Well, in the trailers, he was so good.
He is very.
They very much pandered to that it's Jack Black.
Yes, he's very Jack Blackish. I really like Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong.
Like it's a bad thing.
That's what I was going to say. Surprisingly, I really liked Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong. Like, I was kind of like, okay, but no, it works. It works really well.
Yeah, so top to bottom, fantastic movie. I absolutely loved it. I can't wait for it to come out so I can purchase it. I don't usually buy movies. I will buy this one. I will buy the collector's edition. Apparently, there is a collector's edition coin from the film. I don't know how to get it, but it looked awesome. But yeah, really, really good. And next, the movie I'm going to go see in theater, if I don't get a chance to see D&D, is definitely going to be Evil Dead Rise. That comes out April 21st. I'll probably go see that
you
one alone. Yeah,
because
I don't think anyone's going to go with me.
I said I wanted to go. Shelby will probably go.
Tanner, I didn't think you watched horror movies.
Look at Shelby nodding.
Tanny, I'm kidding.
The trailer was more than enough for me. I am good. Tanner. You guys enjoy. I will spend the night watching Care Bears.
I saw the first Evil Dead movie, the remake, the reboot or whatever, with Justin Mann, Bob, and our friend Melissa. So I definitely watch these movies with a weird group. I would love to get a group together to go watch it. It looks really good. And I'm excited about Barbie.
Yes, I want to see the Barbie movie.
Barbie looks like a lot of fun. Shelby, are you interested in seeing Barbie?
I did not know she had a movie coming out.
It's Margot Robbie.
Really?
Margot Robbie and, plus like six other girls, all are Barbies.
It's, Barbie, yeah.
Hi, Barbie. Hi, Barbie.
Shit.
Ryan Gosling.
What's his... Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling and
Sima,
the guy that plays Shang-Chi is also a Ken.
Sima Liu.
Yeah, he's also a Ken.
And if I remember right, Mike Cera is also a...
Yes,
Michael Cera's in it?
He is Alan, the only Alan. Because they only ever made one Allen doll, and it's Midge's husband. So.
John Cena's in it. Kate McKinnon's in it. It looks
uh-huh.
like John Cena's in it. John Cena's in everything this
year,
man.
Yeah. Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Remember when we joked that he was trying to become the new Rock?
And he did. Well.
My God. He's
not quite at Rock level in movies, but he definitely left wrestling for acting, and he's done pretty good. I mean, he was in Bumblebee. He was in... Cock blockers. Batista definitely hit it before he did. Yeah. Yeah.
You get that Marvel role, that's the be all end all right there.
Yeah. Though,
especially a core Marvel role. I mean, he's,
right.
he's part of one of the key teams, so
I don't think
he hasn't been in a Marvel movie, but he is probably the best thing that's come out of DC.
Who is he in DC? I don't remember.
Peacekeeper.
Peacemaker. That's right. I have not watched the Suicide Squad. I've also not watched the Peacemaker show. So
he is the best thing to come out of the DCEU.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
Wonder Woman exists.
But anyway. Sure does.
I said what I said.
Look,
I didn't say 84 was good, but the character is still better.
I have not seen 84. Can't yeah, pass
I
mean, that.
I still haven't watched 84 either.
If we're talking about characters, then yeah, like Peacemaker is not the best character to come out of the DCEU, but
the most fun. The best.
Yeah, definitely the most fun. And yeah, like the rest of those movies, I just don't particularly care for. Like I thought all the Wonder Woman films were pretty boring.
Oh, the first Wonder Woman was great. I loved it. 84 was.
I fell asleep.
Jesse still has not watched Joker or the Batman. Which boggles my mind more so than Tanner not watching Predator is
really like that should just tell you how much like DC or Warner Brothers has failed in the DCEU. You don't get Jesse Kimball excited to see those two films.
The Batman is probably my favorite Batman movie, legitimately.
I would probably agree with that.
I've heard nothing but good things about the Joker and Batman. We talked about this ad nauseum. Like I understand that they are good films. Like
Jesse, he's actually a detective in this one.
Jesse, do you still
muster the motivation?
Do you still watch the Marvel movies in film in theater?
I do. Those are pretty much the only movies I go to theaters to see. Everything else I wait for on
that
streaming
that
service.
Boggles my mind. And look, everything's subjective, so I'm not going to tell you you're wrong for it. I'm not that person. But it does boggle my mind because, like, I don't know. I lost interest in the Marvel movies so long ago. I don't know. I can't. They all feel so samey to me. There's too many of them. And Star Wars is starting to get like that, honestly, with as much content as they put out. Now, thankfully, it's still good content. But it's getting to a point where I'm like, all right, man, I'm not going to watch all of these things.
Well, when you're not going to watch them, you let me know because I'm watching all of Star Wars. So.
and if you're
not going to watch them, I'm not going to wait for you.
Yeah, Star Wars I still get really excited about. Marvel I still get really excited about. Like, I haven't hit, like, you know, I'm still enjoying the stories they're telling. Not all of them are better. You know, Eternals exists. But yeah,
It wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. I didn't really give a shit. What were we talking about? Eternals.
Was it a better movie than like Suicide Squad? Yeah. But like, that's not a high bar.
That's not a real low bar.
When you have to pause like that to remember who the Eternals were.
And that's a movie that has Salma Hayek.
It did.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, it was an okay film. But like, I legitimately enjoyed the Suicide Squad. I finally watched that, if only so I could watch Peacemaker the series, because the intro was so good. And I'm sure that if I made myself sit down and watch Batman and Joker, I would enjoy both of them.
You would.
I'm confident I would.
You gotta hurry up, man, because Joker 2 is coming out at some point next year, and it looks really good too. Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I cannot, like, get the motivation to do it. Like, to sit down for the 2.5-3 hours, like, per film, I just don't have
drive. The Batman is stupid long.
Batman was way too long.
We had the theater to ourselves, didn't we? Like, there was nobody else in there.
That movie needs an intermission, legitimately.
The Batman was a lot like Return of the King. Like, there were so many parts where I thought the movie ended, and it kept going. And I'm like, oh, my God. You don't have to.
Shannon, when you get a little pause here, I need you to do me a favor and watch what I'm just dropping in there. Okay. And then see if you don't immediately want to go watch Peacemaker.
Oh, I've seen the opening title sequence. I've seen it. Nope. Yeah, and it looks good. I just haven't. Like, I have no excuse. I just haven't watched it yet. Same thing with Suicide Squad. I just haven't watched it. It's like Jesse not quite like Jesse, because Jesse has flat out said that he's not interested. I'm interested. I just haven't done it yet. Why do that when I can just watch endless live streams of ghost videos by Chills?
Or watch the
another ghost video.
And then Hunter into the ghost video. Yeah.
And you and I are probably in a similar situation there, because it's not like, I say uninterested is probably a bad word. Like, I am interested in seeing those two movies, just not like enough to sit through them. And like, so that's where I'm at.
You have other stuff,
like,
you want to do.
Right, like,
he's got to play through Diablo 2 another 50 times.
I haven't played Diablo 2 in months. But, you know, I have been playing, like, Fire Emblem. If I'm watching something, like, you know, either I watch something with Shelby.
Maybe Shelby wants to watch the Batman. Have you ever thought about that, you selfish bastard?
Shelby, do you want to watch the Batman?
I've already seen
it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what about the what about Joker, Shelby?
I've already seen it.
Fuck. All right. Okay. Well, What about? I got nothing else.
Or like it's a, like these days, you know, if I'm just like watching TV by myself, I will frequently just throw on like The Simpsons and play, you know, something on my Switch or, you know, something along those lines. I just don't have any motivation to watch that movie.
It's fine. So, it's fine. Everybody's different. So it's okay.
I need to go back to Shannon bringing up Star Wars. Is everybody caught up on Mandalorian?
Yes. But the listeners might not be, so be careful.
I'm not talking tonight, right now on the show. But at some point in time, whether off air, I need to talk about it.
Season 3 is getting really cute with their guest stars. It's getting to a point where it's like, it's almost like a fucking variety show. Every week you're like, okay, who's the guest star this week? It's Law and Order.
I'm not going to say anything about the content, but this episode from this week was
awful.
It was one of my favorites in a while.
Oh, really?
I had fun with it.
Here's why. It was a Dawn of Defiance side quest.
It was absolutely a side quest.
Yep.
Was a Dawn of Defiance. As we were watching it, Sarah goes, this is a side quest.
And absolutely.
I was like, this is a Dawn of Defiance side. Like, it's very much, I mean, it is beat for
beat.
You
want to get to this point, you need to do this first.
You have to do this, and then you got to do this thing, and make a persuasion check, and then make an investigation check. And
starring Bowser.
There's a chase scene, and there's a, I mean, it was.
It's almost as if they knew.
I loved it for that. I get 100% where you're coming from, that it was a little too cute for its own good.
I don't care.
But I also really enjoyed it. I looked at it as this is a side quest of a tabletop game.
For the record, I don't want it to sound like I'm critical of the cuteness, because like, hey, people enjoy it, I'm all for it, and I love the people that are in it. It's just they're between. I don't want to say who the guest stars are this week, just in case people haven't seen it. But like, I think it was last week or maybe the week before last. It was Tim Meadows. Never expected Tim Meadows to show up on fucking Star Wars. Loved it. But it's, you know, they're just throwing people out there. And that's fine. I saw a question today, and we don't really have a lot of time to talk about this because we got a top five. But a question I saw online was, is Din Djarin the Mandalorian at this point? Or is it Bo-Katan? Is she the focus of the show at this point? They never said.
This season.
They never said that Din Djarin was the Mandalorian. That's just the name of the show, and he was there. But it very well could be Bo-Katan, because this season has been very Bo-Katan heavy. If the Book of Boba Fett became, you know, the Mandalorian,
Mandalorian 2.5.
Well, the Mandalorian has now turned into Bo-Katan.
Or it's focusing more on them bringing back all the Mandalorians to recreate
the Mandalore.
Lot of them too.
I'll give you the reasons off air. I don't want to talk about it with fans.
But I do agree that Bo-Katan has definitely been like a feature piece with a lot of character development. But I'm fine with that too.
There's a reason for it.
And it also, like, it all feels earned. Like, it doesn't feel like forced or anything like that. It's just
And I'm not saying it was forced. I'm just saying, the question is it her show now? Because, and good for it, because I love Katie Sackhoff. I think she's incredible. She's great. I love that they got the voice actor to play the live action character. That's fucking wicked.
It helped that they made like the actual character look like Katie Sackhoff in the show.
Right. Yep. That made it easier to do. Yeah.
Right.
Also, I can say this, it's not a huge spoiler because she's been in it already. Sasha Banks being back this week was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even see her at first. Lindsay had to point her out to me. I was like, oh shit. It's Mercedes Vernado.
There you go.
You mean Mercedes Monet?
Monet-san.
Yeah, apparently she said she really likes being called Monet-san.
Monet-san. All right, that's enough. That's enough stalling for time. So we have a top five for the week.
Oh shit!
I did not do the top five because I don't know any songs that I have that are peppy that are depressing. All my depressing songs are depressing. I keep it real.
I have at least one on my list that you would be able to use.
I have one. I will say one, and therefore
two on my list that you would be able to use.
I will go first so I can get the one out of the way. Lindsay, tell us what the top five for this week is.
Our top five for this week is five upbeat songs that actually have dark themes to them.
I don't even know if this song is going to be accurate to it because it's more just the chorus than anything else. But whenever I think of you know which one I'm going to say, don't you?
Maybe.
It's called Let's Get Fucked Up and Die by Motion City Soundtrack.
That's a really good one.
It's a fantastic one. I love Motion City Soundtrack.
It's such a good song.
They're on tour this year with, I think, All Time Low and All American Rejects. I kind of want to go see it, but they're not going to be anywhere near Missouri, unfortunately. Love Motion City Soundtrack. I love this song. I'll never forget the time. So, Jesse, you remember when we worked at EB Games before EB closed, and we played our own music through the speakers in the store?
Yeah.
And I had, I had my music playing. I was the only one there. This guy and his fucking like 7-year-old, 8-year-old daughter comes in, and then just loudly over the speakers, "Let's Get Fucked Up and Die" starts. And I could not, there are two songs I am afraid of playing in a public setting because I can't get to them to stop them fast enough. That's one of them.
Because it opens.
It opens.
Yeah, no, that's how the song starts.
Well,
I mean, at least it follows up with, "I'm speaking figuratively, of course."
Of course.
There it is. Why didn't you just look at them and say that?
He's speaking figuratively. Of course. For the record, for those of you at home wondering, the other song is 100 Black Coffins by Rick Ross from the Django soundtrack. Because it starts with a quote from the movie between Walton Goggins and Jamie Foxx, where the first line is Walton Goggins says, "Well, you're one lucky N-word, aren't you?" And if I can't get to the goddamn thing fast enough, they're dropping M-bombs immediately. And everyone looks at racist Shannon.
I still remember, like, Kevin had a similar problem. Like, he was listening to music before the store had opened. And then, like, I had walked in right as, like, Rage Against the Machine is playing. And it just gets to, like, "Fuck you, I don't do what you told me." I'm like, "Oh!
Fuck you!"
And I'm like, "Hey, Cam." And he's like, and he's sitting there just rocking out, like, he's having a good time. And then he's like, "Oh, shit, store's open."
There's some
well, the
customer.
The thing that I find funny is the playlist at my workplace. Like, I'm starting to think they don't care because there are songs that have the F-bomb in them, but it is barely bleeped out. Like, you can still 100% still tell it's there.
And you know what? I have a new motherfucker of the week. It's Walmart. Because growing up, Walmart was the only place I could buy music from, right? And Walmart, for some reason, they have uncensored films, but censored CDs. Why? And I think that's still today.
You could not buy the parental advisory CDs from Walmart.
Right. So I used to buy, like, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony. This is before the internet, you know? So
wow, how chopped up was that?
Well, my only saving grace with Bone Thugs and Harmony was the fact that they rap so fast they couldn't catch all the F words or N words. So I still got to curse and say racial slurs. Let's go to Jesse.
Hey, all right. This next one is one that Shannon's going to be like, "Oh shit, I could have done that one." Into the Ocean from Blue October.
See, I didn't think that was peppy enough, but I get where you're going with it.
It's upbeat, like it's a smooth jam, like it's nice, like it's a.
I love a good really suicide good song. Yeah,
and it is about suicide. Yes,
and my favorite part about it, and I don't know if I'm misinterpreting it or I'm interpreting it exactly right, or it's just my interpretation. But the video is a stage play that the lead singer is putting on. And during the stage play, all the people are watching. He's basically talking about, you know, his life and wanting to die and stuff like that. And then as the storms rage in, it starts raining and thundering and the people run away from him as he's on stage. And I love that symbolism of when things get rough, people run away from you. I love that. And I don't know if that's just me that got that from that, but I absolutely love it. That's a good pick, Jesse. That's a goddamn good song.
It's a great song.
It's a great fucking
wonderful
song.
Wonderful song.
All right. We're going to keep this thing. Fuck.
Sorry, I can't. I know we've had this argument before, and that's why I'm not going to take it any further than that. I just can't stand them. I don't know.
When my mom died, it was right when that Hate Me song was so popular. And at the beginning of the Hate Me song, he plays a legitimate recording of his mother, who had passed away, calling him and checking up on him. Because the lead singer of Blue October is legitimately, like, mentally unwell. Like, it's not a gimmick. The dude has serious mental issues, and his mom's calling on him, checking on him to see if he's on his medication and how much she's worried about him. And the video is him with that recorder walking to her grave. I could not listen to that song for a long time. It hurt. I cried every single time. I do appreciate Blue October a lot.
You can talk about how Dark Blue by Jax Mannequin is like super whiny and corny.
Hate me tomorrow.
Hate that fuck. And to be fair, I guess this is the problem I've had with radio a million times over. That song was popular when I was, I guess, not first on the radio because that was in sports. back when I was in high school. But the second time I was on the radio at Rage 103.7 at SEMO, back when we had an alternative station, that song was popular as shit at the time that I was on Rage, and I felt like I heard it. We had shifts on the air. You would go in and be on for like 2 or 3 hours in that studio, and boy howdy, I just, again,
yeah, they played it at least once an hour.
God, it was awful. Ugh. Flashbacks. Anyway,
all right, let's go to Shelby. Now that Hunter's demolished me.
I'm gonna go with Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People.
Yeah,
that's a good.
That's really upbeat song, shootings. And for the longest time,
about
when I did
school shootings
lyrics, it was a really good upbeat song. And then I actually listened to the lyrics, and I was like, "Oh, that's not happy at all."
No,
that's just nope. That reaction reminds me of the ASDF movie when the guy's got the gun to his head. He's like, you know, like goodbye, cruel world, and the Earth just goes, "All right, we'll see you later."
Shannon, you've completely cut out.
Yeah.
Good, goodbye, good. World. I don't want you to hear my joke. I'm done. Pull the plug. I'll kill you.
Now.
Jesus.
Shannon, I know you have a tough time right now. I'm gonna get you I'll get you one of those Cadbury Subway sandwiches. That'll make
Please,
you
don't.
Better.
Please don't. Please don't. Oh God.
Oh my God.
That is gonna make him throw up.
Oh.
That's what you want to accomplish.
Hunter,
I know you guys saw it.
I'm
gonna grab the image and throw it in the Discord for those who don't have the advantage of being in the big group chat.
There you go.
Hunter, you missed the whole segment earlier.
I can imagine. Ew.
Hunter, you missed. Speaking of disgusting, you missed the whole segment earlier where.
Why would you ever put those on bread?
Well, let's see. They're a limited time. You can only. There's only going to make 500 of them. You can only get
They
so
can
many
keep
of them.
Them.
And it's Cadbury cream eggs on toasted bread. That's it.
That sounds really good, actually.
I'm upset.
Right.
Well, I don't think Shelby's ever seen hot dog pie.
No.
No, I've seen it. It's fine.
I like hot dogs, and that makes me vomit. Shelby can't eat hot dogs.
Shannon, you didn't dress it up right. It's not just hot dog pie. It's cold hot dog pie.
That's right.
You can meet your
it's
maker.
It's important to note that it's cold.
A cold hot dog
pie. Meet
you
your
can
maker.
Have that hot dog water martini to go with it.
Mm. I think... My favorite part of that is that as they're talking about the hot dog pie and they're showing it, you just hear a voice in the background go, "Yeah,
yeah,
yeah."
Hey, can we move on from this bit?
Yeah, let's go to Tanner. Tanner, you got a song?
Yeah, I am going to go with Blue Oyster Cult's "Don't Fear the Reaper."
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
That's a classic.
And that's why I picked extra songs.
I mean, it's the low-hanging fruit. I had to go for it.
That's fine.
What my pick was, too.
What constitutes a peppy song?
It just has to have something an upbeat melody to it or, like, really popular. And it's just,
I mean,
like,
if you
but it's like, this is about death and destruction and suicide and just bad stuff.
If the because song is upbeat enough where you have a cowbell.
Fuck.
Because I was about to say, like, because "Don't Fear the Reaper" is definitely like the first half of that song. I would not describe as upbeat, but then you hit like the solo and everything. And,
well, and you get the dunk 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 dunk.
Yeah, part of that song at least is upbeat.
Or if you're Dalton, you get a slow motion, like a very sensual slow motion lick of like wobble wobble wobble. That's for Dalton.
Oh, yeah, he just. It's like the amount of cringe that Dalton is experiencing right now, I can't even put into words.
Listening before.
You said that's for Dalton, and I said it's not.
Oh,
this is the second time in one episode. We can't keep doing this to the poor boy.
Oh yeah, Tanner, what are you doing to your lips?
Don't worry about it. I'll text you. It's I need you to not acknowledge it and continue, please.
Private information.
All right, let's go to Hunter. Hunter, what do you got?
I'm going to start with Wrong Way by Sublime. This song is so fucking peppy, man. Sublime is practically ska in this song. Let me hit you with some lyrics. Annie's 12 years old. In two more, she'll be a whore. Nobody ever told her it's the wrong way. Don't be afraid with the quickness you get laid, for your family will get paid. It's the wrong way.
Damn.
Okay.
You've heard this song. You know you have.
Like, I
have.
At first,
I wasn't recognizing the title, but as soon as you started reading the lyrics, I'm like, I know this song.
And that's how the song starts. Those are the first lyrics in that song. Yeah.
All right.
It's very peppy. It's very ska. And by the way, I can't say the word ska and not think of Andy Samberg and fucking Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Ska will never die.
He's just doing the dance.
Kills me every fucking time.
That's because it's subjectively hilarious.
Before it. Just, oh, God. I'm going to go look it up.
He's got the hat on and everything.
Lindsay. Lindsay, we're an hour into the show and we're on our first round. Please.
That's because we talked about a lot of stuff before, but I am starting off with 99 Red Balloons by Nana. It is basically Nuclear Holocaust.
Yeah. It's such a good song, though.
That is a really good example of this particular time. Mm-hmm.
Wait, who sings that?
Nana.
I didn't know that. I thought it was somebody else. Okay.
Its original was in German, and both versions were popular in the U.S.
99 Luftballons.
It's been covered about a million times over.
Yeah, right. Goldfinger, I think, did the...
Ska will never
die. There's also a terrible parody called 99 Dead Baboons.
All right, I'm going to go next because I got another one. My next one is Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charmed Life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that one's all
that
about.
That song's about crystal meth.
It's about doing the drugs, baby.
That's
another
one.
And
off
he says it. My favorite part is that we listened to that song so much in the '90s, and nobody ever acknowledged that he literally says doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break.
Until you break.
But you're just focused on the dun 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 dun.
I also like the part where he says, I pulled up the lyrics because I wanted to get that lyric right and you got it for me. But there's another one that says, like, chop another line like a coda with a curse. taking sips of it through my nose. Yeah, I didn't get any of these references when I was younger. I just went,
it was like fairly recently, like 4 or 5 years ago when I found out, like, what the lyrics to that song were.
Yeah.
It's just about drugs. Just about drugs. It's all good.
Whoa!
That's quoted from him on the thing I was looking at. The song is a dirty, filthy song about crystal meth and blowjobs.
Whoa! Hey! We're trying to get that sponsorship. Let's go back to Jesse.
He's Liberace. It's a family show.
My next one is going to be Bullet.
Zane Lane's family.
Hollywood Undead.
This is a show for Zane Laney's family.
Yeah.
Hey,
has
Hollywood
anybody
Undead.
Else heard this song? Yeah, Bullet, Hollywood Undead.
I've heard Hollywood Undead. I've never heard that song though. Oh, I just spilled my whiskey.
It's a really good song, and it is definition. Like, it's super upbeat because it starts, my legs are dangling off the edge. The bottom of the bottle is my only friend. I think I'll slip my wrist again, and I'm gone, gone, gone. Oh, wow. Like, yeah, it's straight up, like, the whole thing is just different ways of committing suicide.
Hell
and
yeah.
And it's extremely upbeat. This was, like, it was this song and, like, Into the Ocean, another one, that played on my big playlist while Stephanie was driving us around to our friend Lily's reception whenever she got married.
I remember this, yeah.
And they both looked at me after, like, by the time this one hit, because this was the third song, and it was, like, of five, these three were about, you know, suicide. And they both looked at me like, you all right, man? I was like, yeah, let's move past it.
Let's move past it and go to Shelby.
my pick is Hoodie Ninja, and it is by MC Chris. It is about a guy who stalks the girl that he has a crush on, goes as far as climbing up a tree to stare into her window and masturbates while watching her.
Isn't that just the plot from Back to the Future? Possibly.
The best part about this, there's a Nissan commercial. If you've ever heard the commercial that has the upbeat, I'm a ninja, I'm a hoodie ninja. That's Hoodie Ninja, and that's about stalking a lover.
I also love MC Chris. You know, his backpack's got jets.
Yep. Because he's Boba the Fett.
He is. I don't know if you know. He's also MCP Pants.
I used to like MC Chris.
Until you found out he was on Aqua Teen?
No.
No, he's actually just a really shitty human being.
Yeah, he is a piece of shit.
Oh, like Rick Steiner. Like, that's sad.
Like, he actually got into, like, Shannon, you would dislike this a whole lot, too. I believe it was the drummer from Coheed and Cambria that he started calling out for, like, a bunch of shit, like, when he was struggling with mental health and everything.
Josh?
I think so.
Wait, the guy from Coheed and Cambria called out MC Chris?
No, other way around.
Other way around.
MC Chris called out the guy from Coheed and Cambria?
Yes.
But MC Chris is the dick. Right.
MC Chris is a dick. Yeah.
Okay.
Because like this dude was having like struggles with mental health and everything, and MC Chris just started attacking him, calling him like a little bitch and a bunch of other stuff.
What the fuck, you little mongrel? All right, let's go to Tanner. I'm gonna take another shot.
21 Pilots, Guns for Hands.
Thank you, Jordan, for turning me on to 21 Pilots.
Oh, honestly,
Tanner, you could have just said 21 Pilots and then.
That's
stop.
Also fair. I'm the one that got you into 21 Pilots. I don't give a shit what you say.
What?
Was it you?
Probably Shannon. Yeah, it was me.
It's a good band.
It is.
One of my favorites.
Shelby is also right. It's 21 Pilots, just in general. But Guns for Hands specifically.
One of my favorite things we've ever done on the show, because it's still nostalgic, is when 21 Pilots' album, and I forget what the name of it was, it came out the same day, Jesse. Do you remember as Coheed and Cambria? The Vaxxis album, the first one.
Yes.
And we had a running rivalry here on the show between two of us of which album was better, Coheed or 21 Pilots. We even did a poll on our Facebook page, and Coheed won. Of course they did. Because I bought off everybody.
I don't think you
want to
start bringing those polls back up, because I also recall you ran one about whether or not pineapple belongs on pizza, and you lost that fight.
You lost that one very badly.
You know, I'll take that. The one I lost that really hurt was when
Tom DeLonge
lost to Mark Hoppus. Yeah, let's not talk about it. Let's move on. Let's go to Hunter.
I have several pulled up. I probably better do this one before somebody takes it. As much as I don't like this song, act like I don't listen to it because it's on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. But the Pina Colada song, Escape, by Rupert Holmes.
Yep.
It's very upbeat, but it's very much about a dude trying to cheat on his girl. And then the person he goes to meet is her. She's been cheating on him, and then they think it's funny and decide to stay together.
Oh, that's cute.
No,
that's not.
That's
adorable.
It's fucking terrible.
That's a very, very bad.
It's like, oh shit, we both got caught.
Yes, yeah, it's real bad. But if you ever listen to the lyrics, I mean, it's right there. It's the epitome of a story song.
There's all right. So a quick Mr. Show skit story. There's a skit on Mr. Show where. Bob Odenkirk and his wife, I don't remember who played his wife, I apologize to her, but they're sitting on the couch watching TV together, and the phone rings, and she gets up and answers it, and she's like, what are you doing calling? I told you never to call here. No, don't you come by.
It was
you know,
the neighbors. They were asking
home.
About chutney.
Yeah, so she tells Bob Odenkirk, it was the neighbors, they were asking if we had any chutney, and he's like, she said, I told him we didn't have it. He's like, what? I just bought some yesterday. So he gets up, the phone rings again, and he answers it. And he takes it into the kitchen, and he's like, what are you doing calling me here? I told you never to call here. This is my home. So he goes back, and she says, who was that? And he was like, oh, it was the neighbors again, asking about the chutney. And the look on her face of, wait, what? is fucking awesome. Lindsay, go ahead. It's your turn.
The next one I'm going to do is actually the song that inspired this list for me. It's called What Causes That? It's from the musical Crazy for You, and it's when the main character and the character he's pretending to be are at a bar getting completely wasted, moping about the women that they're in love with that hate them.
Fuck yeah.
But
I feel that. The
chorus part of it that got me thinking of this was... Oh my God, I lost it. You really don't have to mope around and burn up as you do. There's a cannon and some rope around. There's lots of poison too. I'm very blue of late and there's a reason. Loving her.
Yeah, love sucks. Anyway.
No.
But it's just a very peppy, upbeat duo where they're both talking about wanting to kill themselves. But there's one part, he's like, no, you might hurt yourself. It's like, no, point it this way, not towards you.
My next pick, actually, now that you guys got me on a roll, you unzipped me, Doc. You unzipped me. I got another one. It's it's Concrete by Poppy.
Yes. It's a
very upbeat song, and the lyrics are literally, bury me six
bury
feet
me
deep
concrete.
And just cover me in concrete. Turn me into a street. I don't want to wait forever and ever. Turn me into a street. Other parts of it are things like, Some people like candy, some people like coffee, but these lifeless flavors don't satisfy me. I tried to eat ice cream, I tried to drink tea, but I need the taste of young blood in my teeth. It is a very twisted up, but it's so peppy. It's so upbeat. It's such a good song. I love that song. Concrete's probably my second favorite song from the album, so fucking fantastic. I still love Poppy. Let's go on to Jesse.
Okay.
Bury me 6 feet deep.
All right, my next one is going to be, and I guess this isn't like super upbeat, but Hey Man, Nice Shot from Filter.
Ah, like, that's a good one, though. That's a fucking good one.
Or as my wife called it for many years, He-Man Nation. She did not know what the hell the name of the song was. That's her favorite one. You know how everybody has that like one
hold
song
on.
You've been mishearing for
I got
years?
It.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's already been done. I did that a long time ago. Not recently, but...
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's my favorite version. Every time that song comes up, I have to look at her and go, "He meant nation, nation, man."
That's
Where did you first hear that song?
Real Rock 99.3.
Hey,
oh my god!
For me, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. It's the beginning of the movie when Billy Zane is chasing William Sadler. They play that song.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't remember where I first heard it.
So good. Such a good movie.
I'll go ahead and change Jason's name to that anyway.
Thank you.
I every time I hear that song...
Oh, like, we lost Premium Cock? Oh, it's a shame.
You got to keep up the payments on that, man. You're not going to get it for free. You didn't pay your bill. You didn't pay your bill on time.
Yeah, otherwise, you're just going to get standard cock.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the ad-supported tier.
I was about to say ad-supported cock.
I actually in my head. I heard stale for some reason.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of ad-supported cock now.
And at the end of the day, Subway throws out all the stale cock. Right? they got to bake it fresh in the morning.
Wait, see how they can afford premium cock with the prices they're wasting.
All right, let's go to Shelby. Please. Get us off this. Shelby, get us off this cock.
You sure you want to say it like that? Would you like to re-roll that one?
So, really, Shelby, really quick before you do that, Hunter, I meant to mention this on PW last night. You know Riho from AEW. She's Japanese. She doesn't.
No, hang on. I heard you. I meant to mention this all, and then the next thing I heard was she's Japanese.
Okay, all right. Riho from AEW. She's Japanese. Okay. She doesn't. She speaks English. I don't know how well she speaks it. She's been doing this thing lately where she has a weapon with her, and she has this pipe that she's been using to hit people. So she posted a photo of herself. Let me see what it said. I have to look it up because. She posted a picture of her holding this pipe, and the post said something like, should I take this pipe today, or something like that. And everybody was like, no, Riho, don't say it like that.
That's like Rey Mysterio years ago when the new WWE 2K game came out. He's like, man, I can't wait to get home and play 2K and beat my kids.
God damn.
That still tickles me. And then years later, in WrestleMania 39, he would indeed beat his
he
kid
beat his
on
kid.
Live television.
Shelby, go ahead.
Every Breath You Take by the Police.
Every breath you take.
That's just a stalker.
Every move you make. I like the P. Diddy version better.
It almost, like, he makes it sound so romantic. Like, he's that super, super creepy one where he's going to just gaslight you into loving him, and then it's like 5 years later and you realize you're stuck with this guy, and you're like, what the fuck?
That makes me think of that, hopefully I'm not stealing this from someone, that If I Was Invisible, I don't know if that's the name of the actual song, the one that got really popular. If I Was Invisible, I Would Watch You In Your Sleep.
Fly On Your Wall or something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the fuck the name of that song is.
I think I know which one you're talking about, but I can't.
Because it was a really popular, I think it was like pop country for a long time. Yeah, Clay Aiken. Clay Aiken's Invisible. I wish I could be a fly, because it starts, what are you doing tonight? I wish you'd be a fly on your wall. Are you really alone? Who's stealing your dreams? Why can't I breathe you into my life? What would it take to make you see that I'm alive? If I was invisible, then I could just watch you in your room. If I was invisible, I'd make you mine tonight. If hearts were unbreakable, then I could just tell you where I stand. I would be the smartest man if I was invisible. Wait, I already am. It's weirdly creepy.
Okay.
Because that's straight up the chorus. If I was invisible, yes, then I could just watch you in your room. He says that several times through the song.
Moving on to Tanner.
Oh my God. I just noticed something, by the way, on an unrelated note. You talked about the Barbie movie earlier. Did you guys know? So there's all the people playing the different Barbies. Did you know Kate McKinnon is just playing one who got played with a kid who was a little too violent with them?
Yes, and she's constantly breaking and stuff. Yeah.
She's got scribbles all over her forehead.
Her face.
That's spectacular.
Her hair's cut. She's scribbled on. Her joints and the legs don't stay, so she's constantly doing splits.
This Barbie is always in the splits.
It's that Malibu Stacy thing. If you've given Malibu Stacy a haircut and you need to order a replacement head, hit two now. Tanner, what do you got?
I have Avenged Sevenfold's Little Piece of Heaven.
I don't know that one.
I don't either.
So I'll read the first two sets of lyrics here. Before the story begins, is it such a sin for me to take what's mine until the end of time? We were more than friends. Before the story ends, I will take what's mine, create what God would never design. Then he goes on to say, let's see here. Must have stabbed her 50 fucking times. Ripped her heart out right before her eyes. Then the very key lyric is at the end of the chorus where he says, because I really always knew that my little crumb would be cold. That's why I got a heater for her thighs.
Bob always said, dead girls never say no.
Oh. It's Avenged Sevenfold from 2007.
Vera said that? Yeah, that's a... I think we're going to bring Necro into this. Thanks, Tanner.
I'm just saying,
let's go on to... Time. Let's go on to...
And it's all animated and cartoony. It's great.
Let's go to Hunter.
Oh, is it me? Okay.
Well,
let's do... Because I'm surprised nobody has taken this yet. Let's do Hey Ya by Outkast. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Shelby just dissolved in her chair.
So I first mentioned this topic to her, she straight up she was like, I can't think of any of those. And then she was me like, well, except for Hey Ya, I really like that one.
Yeah. Oh.
Shelby, you want to just tell them why? You tell them why.
No, it's all right. You got it. I got another.
That song is very much about how you can't stay together for the kids. You'll never be happy if you stay together for the kids. It literally says nothing lasts forever, then what makes love the exception? And then, because no one's paying attention, he just goes, y'all don't want to hear me, you just want to dance.
He's in the middle of the song, breaks it, and he's just like, you're not even listening. Just fucking dance, you idiots.
Yeah, he just calls him out and is like, never mind. Just do your dumb little dances. Yeah.
Which is just, that makes it extra funny.
Especially when you add it in with the music video of it too.
Yeah, because it's like the old Beatles Ed Sullivan appearance, and it's them just rocking out and everybody just having a good time. And he literally into the mic just goes, "Y'all don't want to hear me, you just want to dance." And that's what everyone's doing. It's kind of messed up.
So at a wedding in Scrubs, towards one of the later seasons, Ted, the lawyer, sings a slow version of that song that sounds really good and super haunting, and it's just extra funny that he is singing it literally at a wedding.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to Lindsay.
Copacabana by Barry Manilow.
At the Copa.
Song about a woman's woman's descent into insanity after watching someone she cares about get shot from him trying to protect her from someone sexually assaulting her.
God damn.
Yep.
I mean, I knew that was the lyrics. I love that song too, but when you say it that, yeah. He's made it depressing. All right. Well, I don't know how to follow that up, Jesse, except with except with Al the Killer by Coheed and Cambria.
There's so many really good Coheed ones.
This one was the one that always got me, though, because I mean the chorus literally goes, bye bye world, die white girls, die white girls. It's a very twisted song.
God.
When I kill her, I'll have her. Die white girls. Fuck. I never heard this song. When that album came out, I heard that song and I was like, wait, what did he say?
there's a few Coheed songs that are like that, especially from their earlier albums when, like, you know, the Amory Wars start really dark.
Yes.
You know, like, all, like, those first three albums, in particular, like, the Second Stage Turbine Blade, that was their first, like, big album. So many super dark songs in there.
I mean, the beginning lyrics of this is literally, at birth given scars along tender heart liberties, injustice for awkward living situated casualties, they lay dead along your floor, careful not to wake them, they're sleeping. In the morrow's good morning, the dying will discard the wish to live. And I remember thinking, like, this is a song. Anyway, yeah. Let's go on to Jesse.
Yeah. All right, my next one is also going to be a Coheed song.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to start, though, with Number City. Not on that album, so much later one. Number City is the whole song is like EMTs responding to a horrific car accident and the fragility of life. Because, I mean, it opens up. It's a super, like, upbeat and peppy. Like, it's also damn near ska-like. But it starts with, attention, we got a medical emergency. The patient's condition is critical and fading. And then, yeah, it kind of goes on. This case is possibly the worst that I have ever seen. I see how vulnerable we as people can truly be. And, yeah, it's just extremely upbeat and happy. And then, like, you actually, like, listen to the lyrics and stuff. You're like, oh.
I'm trying to remember. Is that the one where it starts like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo? Like really kind of.
Yes.
Okay.
It's that like super like heavy bass beat.
Yeah.
And then it just gets into like that like kind of like really happy like synth stuff. Like just a bouncy beat.
The bouncy beat. Shelby, do you have another bouncy beat for us?
It's not the most upbeat, but it's one that I thought was really upbeat when I was a teenager, and one that I didn't really think too much about until, you know, again, later when I actually looked at the lyrics. But it's Face Down by Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Basically, do you feel like a man when you push her around? Do you feel better now as she falls to the ground?
But very...
Oh, yeah. I'm not gonna sing.
Yeah, you will. Go ahead.
Nope.
You can do it.
Do you feel like a man? I'm doing the Creed version.
Wait, why is this
when you push her around?
That was Face Down as done by Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
I like the one Pearl Jam, though. It's much more flattering.
Tanner's last one. What do you got?
Oh, see, I'm going
to. That was the last one? That was four.
He's four.
This is the fourth one.
Yeah. We got one more round.
Shit. I already blew my load.
Come on, Frank.
All right, Tanner, for round four.
Just started blasting.
Okay, I'm going to take Some Nights from Fun.
Some Nights? Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
That's a real good one. But why is it but why is it depressing?
He's upbeat, being sad, he's far away from home.
Aww.
Having a full-on existential crisis about it.
I don't know why I made fun of him for being sad, for being away from home. Aww. Aww. You're away from your mommy and your daddy. Anyway, let's go to Hunter.
Oh, let's I don't know do what's happening. Bop by Hanson.
That's not sad.
It is.
What?
So it doesn't seem like it should be, but Shannon, check some of these lyrics. You have so many relationships in this life, only one or two will last. You go through all this pain and strife, then you turn your back and they're gone so fast. Basically, it is, it's your theme song.
Matters.
It's about how life will take everything away from you and eventually you will end up alone.
Thanks, Hunter.
I mean, tell me it's not exactly the same shit you say all the fucking time.
Yeah, but he doesn't need you affirming it.
I don't need you telling me I'm right. it's depressing.
It's very much. I mean, the whole song is like that too. Like, those, by the way, are the first lyrics other than "oh" and "oh yeah." But yeah, basically, that's the whole song.
It's extremely perky song.
Yeah, it's very upbeat. Yeah. I mean, but it is not lyrically, not in any way whatsoever.
All right, Lindsay, round four.
Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie.
See, the reason that I they couldn't get Vanilla Ice on that is because Vanilla Ice goes do 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 do
do do. Yeah, it's that little do do.
Yeah, that extra, that little do 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 do. Anyway,
right.
That's one of my favorite interviews of all time. Just listening to him try to justify they put one extra little beat there. He's so serious too.
I'm on IGN while this is all going on, and there's apparently they put an article out reminding people that the Mario Brothers movie's for children because people are so like, this is a silly film. It's Mario. Like, what do you expect? Like, seriously, what do you expect from the fucking Mario Brothers? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, to be fair, the precedent they set in the 90s was we should expect the weirdest dystopian shit you've ever seen in your life.
I love the idea of the old Mario Brothers movie and then the new one, and then you also have the old D&D movie and the new one, because I know the D&D movie came out years after the Mario Brothers film, but it was also super weird, and it's like, now they got it right, kind of like Mario, but I stand by the fact that the old Mario Brothers movie, I love it. I unironically love it.
I watched the shit out of that movie.
I had all the toys.
I have seen a lot of people in the wake of the new one coming out saying, like, I actually liked the old one. I recognize that it's, like, not really Mario. Like, it's very weird and not normal at all. But, like, it's Mario. I mean, basically, it's Mario by way of, like, John cocaine. Waters. I don't know. Cocaine. Let's go with cocaine.
Cocaine.
That's better.
Cocaine.
I like that one.
By the way, speaking of Mario, it looks like the weekend, opening weekend, in just the 2 or 3 days it's been out, is 141 million. It is the second best April opening ever, only behind Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, Mario just released
it. It only came out on Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah. That's not
they haven't even
that's
had the full weekend
basically.
Yet. Yeah.
This is going to be a blockbuster, and I'm very happy about that. Lindsay, you went, right?
What?
Did you go?
Okay. Yes, Under Pressure.
All right, last round, and I actually do have one. It's not super duper upbeat, but it is. It's got a. If it's just established that it has a good rhythm, it's not like whatever. But this is the darkest song I've ever heard in my life. Lyrics that are so disturbing that when the song comes on my playlist, I usually turn it because I don't want the people that are with me thinking, "What's wrong with you?" And we're gonna bring it back to Blue October. It's called "The End" by Blue October. It is the darkest song I've ever heard in my life. It is about a husband who's coming home to his wife and her new boyfriend and breaking into their house, tying them up, and then murdering them. It is...
I remember this song.
Yeah, it's absolutely disturbing. Just the very final lyrics. Then the screaming, oh, the screaming. It's nice to see you scared of such a weak and stupid husband who knows you never really cared. I'll leave you with a question that I need to hear from your head. Was all this worth it knowing you have seconds left to live? Now think about your answer as you lay face down on the bed. I cocked the pistol, pulled the trigger, and all I saw was red. I gently stroke her arm as she lies lifeless on her back, then place the barrel in my mouth, and all I saw was black. That's the end of it. There's a whole other part of it that's even worse. It is legitimately disturbing, and I remind you, this guy has actual mental issues. So when a song like that comes out, there needs to be a wellness check. Let's go to Jesse.
All right, my last one. I'm going to do another Coheed song because I can. and I'm going to go with Devil in Jersey City.
Will you fuck me back home?
Scream loud. Scream sayonara. Sweet Josephine, will you follow me home? Scream loud, scream sayonara. Sweet Josephine, will you fuck me back home? Yeah, no, it's about a girl getting gangbanged.
Yeah, not gangbanged, gang raped. There's
gang
a difference.
Raped. Yeah, sorry, yeah. There is 100% a difference.
There's a distinction.
There's a distinction. He's absolutely correct. Yeah. The whole song is about Josephine being gang raped. By the
was it the Jersey Devils, right? Is that what they're called? Like the
That is the name of the gang,
right?
That it's a motorcycle gang, I think. And her worthless ass boyfriend gets like he just gets smashed in the face immediately and goes down. And yeah, it's bad. And the story gets much, much darker after that song, like in the actual comic.
Yeah. So what a lot of people may not realize, and I think we've said it on the show before, is that all of Coheed's albums, except for one, are based on the comic book that he writes. So it's all one continuous plot. And it's very dark. It is a very dark story. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I haven't actually read the story for the most recent two albums, but I hear it's a lot less dark. The albums are a lot less dark.
They are, but I love the visuals of it. The mask that, I forget what her name is in the story. The girl that wears the
spider.
Yes. Her and his mask with the call your mother. That is what inspired me to wear a mask in wrestling. So, yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, that's the one. Jesse, I need to borrow that, by the way, for wrestling.
It's not leaving the box, my friend.
I'll tape the box to my head. Let's go to Shelby.
Did we say So What by Pink yet?
We did not.
No.
Yeah, that one's really upbeat, and I always end up humming along with it, and I forget. And it's about, she literally was so pissed off after her divorce from her husband, she made this song to basically call him a tool and rub it in his face that she was still a rock star, and now he didn't get her money.
Yep.
That's good shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's literally like, so what? I'm still a rock star. I got my rock moves, and I don't need you.
Shelby,
that's literally in the song.
Shelby, what's your favorite Pink song? Is that it?
Yeah, it's that one. I fucking love that one.
Have you ever heard? I'm sure you've heard. You ever heard Who Knew?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
I love that song. That's so depressing, but it's depressing. It's not fun depressing. Tanner, last one.
Pink's just really good. Like,
I agree. I like Pink.
Oh, Lord. Skip me. Come back to me for a second. I got distracted by something. I'll go next.
All right, Double H.
Oh, I have two actually that I realized along the way, and I definitely could have just let Shelby have the other one now. So I feel bad about that. But I got to do both of these. There's no way that anybody's gonna have either one of them. Because we started talking about Rage 103.7, and it occurred to me there are two songs from there that are perfect. Those emo songs from the early 2000s, like. A lot of them fit this really well. So the first one is The B-List by The Starting Line. It's one of my all-time favorite albums. It's their album based on a true story.
I like Starting Line. Good band.
The B-List is all about basically a girl or a woman like trying to make it in Hollywood and eventually having to give in to like using sexuality to get it. Like he says at one point in time, you've got something special, put it on the air. Humiliation pays well by the tear. And so basically it's just like people are scoffing at this woman for taking her clothes off to get paid and become a star. But like, that's the only way that she knows how to do so. There's another lyric that says a mill for a wedding ring, a thou for embarrassing yourself. Keep that camera rolling, baby. And it's just, it's a lot darker than it seems from the get-go. I'll put that one there in just a little bit. The other one is dark, but it's much more upbeat, and it's almost kind of funny. It's by Brand New, and it's called Jude Law and A Semester Abroad. This is one of my all-time favorite emo songs. The whole song is about this dude's girlfriend going to Europe, like, on vacation, or, like, a semester abroad. Probably she's doing an overseas study. And he is convinced that she is cheating on him while she's overseas. So he says at one point in time, and even if her plane crashes tonight, she'll find some way to disappoint me by not burning in the wreckage or drowning at the bottom of the sea. It's harsh. Like, it's real harsh. The whole thing is all about that. And it's catchy as hell, though. I'll grab both of them really quick, and you guys can give them a listen. But yeah, that early Rage sound was just very much that. Yeah, that's what I got.
All right, Tanner, moment of truth. We're back to you now.
Right. I'm going to go with Bad Moon Rising from Creedence.
God damn it, Tanner!
Oh, poor Lindsay.
I'm not the only one.
Hey, Lindsay's had like three songs stolen.
And I saved very... like 10 of them to be on the safe side or something like that. Like...
Well, it's a good thing you did.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's the lyrics. I mean, obviously it's upbeat because it's probably one of their most catchiest songs. But they're either talking about something apocalyptic or it's just a metaphor for political climate and everything. And it's just the story of the song and the song itself don't match, but it's great.
It's also the best werewolf transformation.
It Is it the one from
American Werewolf in London?
Yeah.
That was the movie I was going to guess, but I was like, shit, I don't remember that song being in that film.
Oh, yeah. So, John Landis specifically picked out, like, the entire soundtrack are songs that have the word moon in the title. So, like, Blue Moon, Bad Moon Rising, and it's played right before he transforms into the werewolf, the Kessel Wolf, for the first time. In fact, it's as the song goes, it just kind of cuts off, and he just screams out Jesus Christ, and it starts, like, going. Jesse, you need to watch An American Werewolf in London again. Shelby, have you seen it?
Once, very long time ago.
Best werewolf movie of all time.
It has been a few years since I've last seen it, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago.
Great movie, terrible sequel. Let's go to Lindsay. Final one.
All right, well then, since Tanner stole my last one, we're going to go with a slightly unexpected one, but 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. Specifically, if nothing else, for the ending part of it. It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it, and you spend your life putting money in his wallet.
Lonnie.
Yep.
The Lonnie song. All right, well, that was a bunch of good songs. Capped off by the fact that Coolio died from fentanyl. Hunter, before we get out of here, can you to bring us back up to a fun level? Can you read us off the names from the chat?
That's something I can do.
I need Shelby to laugh now, one more time before it's all over.
As of now, Ace's name is He-Man Nation. But of course, he's no longer the premium cock.
Premium cock.
Cody is genteel in the palace. My name is Vince Croker. Bob remains politically motivated ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Jesse is the tapioca chicken. Kaz is hamburger and spandex. Shannon is the golden froth. Steven is Wayne Sprocket.
Wayne Sprocket.
Tanner is Mariando. Don't ask. And Zach Kurgis is taped swords. That's it.
That's the whole show, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of here.
Also, I have the theme for this. This is the song that you need to attach to this episode.
Okay, let me see.
I'm putting it in there right now.
What is it?
It's very upbeat, but it is the epitome of, like, kind of a downer.
I like that song.
Yes, okay. By Tangerine Kitty. It's called Dumb Ways to Die.
All right. I can absolutely do that. We'll be back next week with all new episodes. Thank you guys for listening in and for all the love we got for our 8-year episode. It was very well received. Actually, that and the WrestleMania preview were both, like, really good. So I appreciate it. We still got some gas in the tank is what we're saying. We still got some love for you. Zane Laney, especially you. Until then, for myself and for Jesse, for Lindsay, for Shelby, for Hunter, for Tanner, for Dalton and Asa, for Ethan, for Zach Kurgis, for Derek Boxdorfer, Mandy, who else am I forgetting that is relatively close to Steven Bright. Lovely Steven. We're out of here and we'll see you guys next week. All right. Have a good night, guys. Shelby, take us out.
I'm sorry, what you cut out?
Hey, Jim.